There's some pages here that John was kind enough to photocopy just in case you need them. The question is, well, you know, I don't know which of the last pages you have. We were talking about the mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim. We got up to page Reish Nun Gimel. So I'm hoping you have those pages. Plus you have the new pages for today, so... Our fundamental issue was how to define the mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim. Is it A, just another example of the mitzvah of Tzedakah? The laws of Tzedakah will apply to Matanis Levyonim, just that the whole year round I'm not mechuyev to find an ani to give to an evyon, but on Purim, or no, it's a whole new mitzvah. So what we want to do is, as we go through this essay, we want to calculate the nafkaminas between these two definitions. Is it staka or is it unique with its own dinim and its own regulations? So I don't know if anybody here could possibly volunteer to be my... Dr. Joel, do you like to write things? Or?
On my phone, I write them.
Okay, if you don't mind. What I would like somebody to do, if you could do it, that's great. If not somebody else, maybe just to calculate all the nafkaminas. So the first nafkamina that we discussed, let's just review it, is what's called lishanosam. Lishanosam means, are you allowed to change it? Are you allowed to reallocate the funds for another purpose? And in Simon Tafresh Tzadi Dalid, the Magen Avraham, the Hagol Sashri is quoted as saying that with regard to Megillah, I'm sorry, let's start again. Reallocating the funds will be the second nafkamina. So let's go back to the first nafkamina. The first nafkamina is Machshava. What happens if I designate Mo'os for Matanis Levyonim B'machshava? In other words, I haven't yet actually separated them, but I thought to myself, you know, I have some money in my pocket, I have money on the table somewhere or other, I'm going to give that, direct that for Matanis Levyonim. So the Beis Yosef in Siman Tafresh Sadi quotes Dagos Ashri to the effect that that if he already in his mind decided that this pot of money, you know, this piggy bank of coins is going to be given and designated for the mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim. Thank you. Then you're not allowed to change that. And that halacha does not apply in stock, at least according to one school of thought. And when we're comparing the laws of Tzedakah to Matanis Levyonim, we're going from Yoredeya to Aruch Chaim. So in Yoredeya, the laws of Tzedakah are codified in Siman Reish Nun Ches, if you want to make a note of that. And there, according to some poskim, you can change your mind. In other words, it's not final, it's not irreversible if you decided in your mind that you want to give a certain... I call it a piggy bank, if you know what I mean, to Tzedakah. So again, I have no proof here that Dagos Ashri is holding that Matanis Levyonim is a separate independent mitzvah, independent of Tzedakah. I don't know that, because I can't commit him to what his view would be in Tzedakah. I know that in Matanis Levyonim he says, Ein Lishanos. Then we go on to the second nafkamina, and that's the question of reallocating the funds. So we have a principle in Hilchas Tzedakah that the Bnei Ha'ir, who represent the city, they can reallocate funds. Now, what happens in the case of what's called a Migbat Purim. There was a collection of money for Purim. Do the Bnei Ha'ir have that authority, which they normally have in Staka, to reallocate that money?
No.
Oh, so that's a machlokas between two Tosfosim. There's one Tosfos in Masechta Erechin on Daf Vav, and there's a second Tosfos in Masechta Bava Metzia. He doesn't tell you what Daf it is here, but Tosfos in Bava Metzia is of the opinion that the same law, I'm sorry, Tosfos in Erechin says the same law, the same rule that applies to Tzedaka in general, which means that the Bnei Ha'ir have the right to reallocate the funds. The same law applies to Migbas Purim, to the money that was collected for Purim. However, Tosfos in Bava Metzia, on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, Tosfos says that even though with regard to Tzedaka money, the Bnei Ha'ir have the ultimate authority to reallocate the funds for another need, for some sort of mitzvah, for some need, in the case of Mos Purim, Ein Lishanos, you can't change. So this again is going to be a second nafkamina as far as how do you define and classify the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim. Is it staka or is it a new mitzvah? Then we have a third nafkamina. The third nafkamina is in this paragraph that starts v'nira, that's called medagdakin or ein medagdakin. What do I mean? In the case of tztaka, if I have tztaka money and I want to divvy it out, I have the right and maybe even the obligation to be medagdak. Medagdak means to ask the person who's putting his hand out for credentials. You know, somehow prove, let me establish that you're an ani. However, the Tosfos Rosh says that with regard to Mos Purim ein medagdakin b'davar, Ella, he says, called dichvin yese v'yechol. Now that phrase, as you know, is borrowed from the Haggadah Shel Pesach with regard to the mitzvah of what's called Mos Chitin, meaning there's money collected for the meal of Pesach, and kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. We'll have to see exactly what that means, but suffice it to say for now, the Tosfos Rosh is borrowing that phrase, applying it to Mos Purim, to conclude that ein medagdakin b'davar, with regard to Mos Purim, we're not going to ask him for any documentation to prove that he's an ani, some certification. Ela kol ha'poshet yado, anyone who puts his hand out, is Yitol. Now, when the Tosfos Rosh presents his Shita, there are two points that we want to make. Number one, he seems to at least implicitly equate it with the mitzvah of Mos Chitim, because he employs the phrase of Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. And again, that point we'll get back to in just a minute. And then he says, Kidei, why are we not careful about the credentials of the person who's poshet es yado, is because kadesh yu hakol smechem. So somehow he connects the mitzvah of matanos levyonim with simchas purim, and we want to guarantee that everyone is part of the simchas purim, and therefore the din is ein medagdakin b'mos purim. The Tosfos Rosh quotes in support of his position a Yerushalmi in the first parak of Megillah. The same position is taken by the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Ketanos, Ein Medagdikim V'Mos Purim, El Kol Poshet Yodo, Litol, Yito, Lasos, Mishte V'Simcha. The Ritva, Ein Medagdikim V'Dover Lomar Imu Oni, V'Roy Lite Lo Im Lav, V'Eno Roy Lito, El Nosu V'Chol Odom Sheyovo V'Yitba. And here's where the Ritva fleshes it out a little bit further as to why this is so. Before we said it because of Simcha, he adds a little bit of an embellishment. He says, She'ein Zeh, do you have that if you want to underline it? It's about eight lines up from the bottom. John, does that make sense? Eight lines up on the left column. He says she'eyom zed midin tztaka bilvad. Now, obviously, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tztaka, but there's another machayev, and that's called midin simcha umanos. So far we have simcha, which we've seen in the Tosis Rush, we saw it again in the Smak, but now he's adding umanos. We'll see exactly, you know, that lechori is borrowing from a different mitzvah, which is mishloach manos. And he says, sharei, and I'll prove to you that I have a mitzvah of matanis levyonim for anyone who puts his hand out. I'll prove it to you from the mitzvah of mishloach manos. Sharei af ba'ashirim ksiv, we're obligated with regard to a rich person, mishloach manos ish reyehu. And he's using that as a proof to establish the nature and the scope of the mitzvah of matanis levyonim, which is very fascinating in itself. Yeah, I would grant you, while it's true that my mishloach manos applies to ish l'reyehu no matter whether he's rich or poor, but in the case of matanos levyonim, which the Megillah says is levyonim, he's got to be an evyon. So what are you telling me that I can extrapolate from the mitzvah of mishloach manos that even if this evyon might not really be an evyon, I can still give him money? That's a pel of a chiddush. But one thing we see clearly, that there are three rishonim that we've isolated, whether it's the Rush, the Smak, and the Ritva, they all hold that there's a separate din in matanis levyonim of ein medagdikim medavrim who ani o ein money elokol mishem poshedis yado nosnim lo. So that's not nafkamina number three. The first nafkamina was machshava. The second nafkamina was lashanos, which means the bnei ha'ir, are they authorized to change it, reallocate it? And the third nafkamina is medagdikim ein medagdikim medavrim. Now, if you turn to page Reishin and Dalid, the Gvuras Yitzhak wants to build a lot on the choice of words here, the Tosas HaRosh, that Tosas HaRosh chooses to use the terminology of Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. So let's go back to the first paragraph of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And that paragraph has two phrases in it. One phrase is called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol, which is a reference to what we call Kimcha de Pischo or Mos Chitin, whatever title you want to give it. And the other phrase is called Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach, which means anyone who's in need can join us to eat the Karban Pesach. Then that piece in the Haggadah was originally formulated back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We still have a little Shirayim of the original Haggadah. And he wants to suggest that there's a fundamental difference between Kol Ditzrich and Kol Dichvin. He says Kol Ditzrich means he has a need. What is he saying here? Let's again, give me a few minutes, if you don't mind, just to try to brush it up. It's not so simple. I can't say it all in one sentence. Shomer Zohar B'Dibrecha. It works like this. Karban Pesach represents here, and I'll try to explain this, what we call Shar Mitzvos. In other words, it's an application of a universal rule to one particular case. And that is, that do I have an obligation to see to it that you are financially capable of fulfilling a mitzvah? The answer is yes, but it's a limited yes. It's only if you can prove to me that you're a ditzrich. So Karban Pesach now becomes simply an example of a universal rule that applies to tzedakah for mitzvahs. In other words, if I am obligated to give you tzedakah so that you can fulfill a mitzvah, then you have to prove to me that you're a ditzrich. That's what he's being dyed. Ditzrich means tzarech, that you really have such a need. But there's a unique mitzvah on Leil Pesach to support people for kimcha de pischa, meaning that they should have enough money to buy matzah. And that's not midin tztaka. That's not a universal principle of, you know, hey, friend, please help me, I'm in need, I can't do the mitzvah, I don't have the finances, I can't pay for a lamb to eat the Karban Pesach. That's not what we're talking about. Such a case would be tztaka. And if it's tztaka, then I have to prove to you that I'm a nitzrach. But then there's a different din, and that's a chiyuv unto itself, independent of tztaka, and that's called kimcha de pischa. And with regard to kimcha de pischa, we have new regulations that operate. And that is that anyone who tells you he needs matzah, he needs kebach for matzah, then you give it to him if you can, you provide it for him. He doesn't have to prove that he's a ditzrich. And here the Haggadah used the word called dichvin yesei v'yichol. Dichvin means he puts his hand out and he says, I'm in need. He hasn't proven that he's a ditzrich. So again, with regard to this special unique mitzvah of Kimcha de Pischa, I have a rule of my obligation is to give it to him because he's asking for it. In the case of Korban Pesach as a representation of one example of Shar Mitzvos or Shar Tzorchei HaChag, then the halacha is that I have to give him tztaka if A, he can prove that he needs it, and B, I can provide it for him. And therefore, if you take a look in Hilchas Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch, he only mentions the chiyuv of Mo's chitin for Pesach. He doesn't formulate a responsibility and obligation that you have, if you have the funds, to make sure that Yenim, that somebody else has enough money to buy Tzorchei Pesach. Because that's not Allah in Hilchas Pesach. That's Allah in Hilchas Staka. If, for example, you would come to me and prove to me that you don't have money to buy a lulav, and I have the wherewithal, I would give you tztaka money. Again, with all the laws of tztaka, I mean, there again, in a million different, I'm not trying to obfuscate all the complications, but generally speaking, in all mitzvahs, meaning, tztaka is not just for food. People think mistakenly that, my wife and I are very involved in something called Yad Eliezer, right? So people think, because Yad Eliezer, provides food for people. People think that tztaka is only for food. If you don't have money for a lulav, or you don't have money for a Karban Pesach, for a lamb, then that's also a mitzvah of tztaka. But within the context of tztaka, we have a halacha called medagdikin. Medagdikin means you have to prove your credentials. I don't give you just like this. So, kol ditzrich yesei v'yevchal means with regard to the Karban Pesach, Yesei v'yifsach, I meant to say, sorry. With regard to the Korban Pesach, like any shart tzorchei ha-mitzvos, I have to give you whatever you need for your mitzvah if I can afford it and you can prove that you need it. That's not going to appear anywhere in Hilchas Pesach because when the Ani says to me, I need money for the Korban Pesach, he's not presenting some sort of a new mitzvah. The law and the universal law with all its regulations of tztaka kicks in. Where do we find in Shulchan Aruch a new din in Hilchas Pesach that's not quoted in Yoredei and Hilchas Tztaka? That's this halacha of kol dichvin yesei v'yechal, of Mo's chitin. And what's unique about Mo's chitin is that he doesn't have to prove that he's an ani and he needs Mo's for chitin. In any event, if we go back to the Tosa Rush, it's not coincidental, just for literary, embellishment, that he equates most poor, meaning Matoras Avionim, with Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechal. He wasn't just giving you a nice way of formulating it, a poetic way of saying it. He was actually talking about the definition of the halacha, that we have a precedent in halacha for Ein medagdikin b'dover. That's called kol dichvin yesei v'yechal with regard to Mo's chitin. So Mo's chitin is a special, unique mitzvah. It's not included in the and bound by the regulations of tztaka, general tztaka. So too, matanas avyonin is a special, unique mitzvah in Purim, and it's not bound or restricted by the regulations that operate in the laws of tztaka. And this he summarizes here in the paragraph v'al kol panim. And he says that with regard to Matanas Levyonim, we had three Rishonim who say, I go on record as saying that there's no din of digduk, meaning to find out and check out, investigate if he's really an oni. Why? Because Matanas Levyonim is not a subcategory of tztaka, but rather it's mitzvahs hayom. It's part of the mitzvah of the day. Now let me just take a little bit of a parenthetical insert here, like a footnote, if you don't mind. The Gaon Mivilna is famous for saying that if you don't give Mo's chitim, then not only are you negligent in terms of Mo's chitim, but your mitzvah of matzah is not fulfilled. So I have my own matzah, I'm eating my matzah, and the Gaon says, if I didn't give you matzah, which you needed matzah, then I didn't fulfill my mitzvah of matzah. Why? Says the Gaon, because the Torah doesn't say matzos yochelu, but ratzah te'ochel. The Torah uses the word te'ochel, which means you have to see to it that the matzah is eaten. What does that mean? Why did the Torah just say you have to see to it that you eat the matzah? Says the Gaon, it's not enough that I see to it that I eat the matzah, I have to see to it that you eat the matzah. And therefore, my mitzvah is incomplete unless I see to it that someone who's in need will eat the matzah.
Why would the Korban Pesach be any less of a mitzvah hayom than Moritz Fitin?
Well, again, a mitzvah hayom doesn't generate anything beyond staka. Meaning, again, the mitzvah hayom generates a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. But as far as my giving you money for Korban Pesach, that's not the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. That's a mitzvah of staka.
About
Moritz Chitin, again, it's only a rabbinic invention, but the Gaon has a smachta from the pasuk.
Okay.
He doesn't quote the Gaon. I'm just mentioning the Gaon in passing. But simple, you know, without the Gaon, simply the straight way of understanding it is that when the Chachamim established the mitzvah of Moritz Chitin, they weren't just establishing. On giving you another example of tzedakah, I can figure it out myself. You didn't have to write a whole sif in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach to tell me that I have to supply you with chitim for your matzah. I mean, that's true for any need that you have. If you have a need for matzah, give me all the list of Ramach mitzvahs asay. And if you have a need for them, then that's the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzedakah is not limited to physical food and sustenance. So why do we have this special? The answer is the Chachamim established Moritz Chitin as a special chiyuv, and that's part of the yontif itself. They took the yontif and they said the yontif generates its own mitzvah. In the case of Purim, this was established as essential to the very nature of the day as the day of Purim, that they wanted and demanded that we give Moritz for the avyonim, what we call matanis avyonim. And that becomes part of the day of Purim. This is the way I observe my holiday of Purim. I have to read the Megillah, and I have to make a Mishta and a Suda, and I have to give Mishloach Manos, and I have to give my Torah of Yonah. That's how I observe the day. So it's not a mitzvah of tzedakah. Meaning, if you have Evyonim, and they come and they say, well, you know, we don't have the wherewithal to celebrate this mitzvah. Let's say an Evyon would come and say to you, I don't have coffee, you know, to get to hear the Megillah. It's too far from my house. He needs a 250, you know, to get on a train to the Megillah. Okay, that's the mitzvah of tzedakah. But as far as the essence of Matanas of Yonim is concerned, as a special, unique mitzvah that reflects my kingdom of the day, here there's a new set of halachas. Number one, it might be that if most Purim were mentally designated, that's enough. It might be that once they're designated, you can't reallocate them. And it might be that even though he doesn't have credentials, I have to supply him with Matanas Levion. Those are the three nafkaminas that we have. We'll have Mirzachem another nafkamina in just a minute. And now he quotes Rashi in Masechta Metziah. Rashi in Masechta Metziah says, Ein medagdikin lomar dayon bepochos umosar. Okay, this is going to be nafkamina number four. Let me just by way of pedagogy, I'll ask you for your instinctual answer to this question. When you give out stocker money, are you going to be mitzamtzem? Mitzamtzem means the following. The ani has a certain need, let's call it X. And you have Y money in your piggy bank that's designated for tzedakah. That Y is X plus 1, right? There's some surplus, correct? Mm-hmm. So here's my question to you. I want you to give me an instinct, knee-jerk response. Should I give him X or should I give him, you know, Y? Be very large about it, as the Israelis would say.
You do not have to give him X plus 1.
Correct. And the law is that I have to be very careful because there's an entire set of halachas about what to do with the surplus money. And that's called yiplu lekis shel tzedakah. So again, normally we say dayam. Dayam means that all they need is enough. And if they could be dayan bepachos with again the bare minimum, I don't have to make him into a rich guy. On the contrary, I have to take that surplus staka money, and that's called yiplu lekishel staka.
In other words, it's coming out of someone else's pocket if you give him more than he needs.
Yeah, in a certain sense. In other words,
somebody else has a need.
Excellent. You can put it that way too. But I'm just saying that the halachas are regulated in hilchas stock, you know, with very strict ways. You know, that there's something called mosar, and mosar means, you know, you don't just give. Everything has to be with a cheshbon, so to speak. Now, what happens in the case of matanas levyonim on Purim? So the Meiri says, Ein medagde bedover litzamtzem. This concept of litzamtzem lahem kidei lahapil samosa lekishal tztaka, so that there'll be surplus above and beyond the need of the ani, the specific pinpoint limited need of the ani, and that'll go into the kishal tztaka. Oh no, no, no! There's no such halacha, says the Meiri, with regard to matanis levyonim. Ella shochtim es ha'golim. We slaughter the calves, you know, the lamb chops, whatever it is. Mechinim lem suda bederech vitur, and we prepare for them a seuda which is way beyond their specific needs. So we're not trying to be mitzamtzim so that there'll be a mosar which will fall to the kishal tztaka. Now again, there's another chiddush in the Meiri which we'll come back to in just a minute. The Meiri speaks about shochtim es ha'golim. Now, who's talking about? Well, we're talking about Tanis Levyonim. What would be in your mind? Again, I'm only asking for your, hopefully your knee-jerk response will be the same as mine, I'm hoping, praying. What would be your classical vision of Tanis Levyonim?
Money.
You know, we're not shechting our golem here, we're not shechting calves. I mean, that might be more appropriate for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, maybe. So, I'm not ready to answer this question yet, but I just want you to make a mental note as we go through this Meiri. Right now, we're putting all the thrust of our energy on one point in the Meiri, namely that we're not going to do the regular tzimtzum to make sure that any surplus money is going to go into the kishal tztaka, and that doesn't apply. But I want you to keep in mind the point that we're going to get back to in just 5 minutes, and that's another point in this Meiri. Right now, it's just a footnote. We're not ready to discuss it yet. We're going to take it on in a minute. That he's talking about matanas levyonim in a whole different vision, a whole different, you know, orchestration than what we normally would think is your classical matanas levyonim.
So he's saying you're not mitzamtzem.
Correct. Just shechti egel. And it's called a suda v'derech vitur. Vitur means when I give you even more than what you need. Ani mevater lecha. Like the Gemara used the word vitur. Did we have this together? I don't remember. The sugya nedarim. Oh yeah, John, you were with me in the 7:30 class. That we have a thing called vitur. Like, let's say, for example, sometimes when I sell you something, I add a little bit of extra. That's called derech vitur. Why? Because I want you to be a good, happy client. So instead of giving you one bushel at 10, I'll give you a bushel plus 0.1, you know, an extra tenth of a bushel, so that you'll be a good client of mine. Well, the Gemara says that, let's say you have to get from one place to another, and if you go through my field, you'll find a shortcut. So if I'm a vater, I can say to you, v'derech vitur, you know what, go through my field. It has to do with the sugya called mudra hana, where the vitur is included in mudra hana, it's not included in mudra hana. That's called vitur. Vitur is a concept in halacha. I don't want you to walk out of it thinking that vitur is just a Hebrew word. It's more than a Hebrew word. It's a concept in halacha. And normally, we would not allow in staka that you just give the money b'derech vitur. You know, take a little extra. You know what I mean? Why not, you know, you're already going to buy a shirt. Why not buy I don't know, what are the fancy shirts called? Custom made or whatever. You know what I'm saying? No, we don't do that with most staka. Like you said before, yes, if it's at the expense of the cheshbon of somebody else. But in most Purim, get out the calves, get out the shochet, and just shecht away. And that's called b'derech vitur. Okay?
And this is different than the concept of mechila.
It's not mechila, because again, you're not really the owner of most stock. You know, once it's chal as most stocker, you're in charge of divvying it up, but you know, this is stocker money.
Started with a pot.
So you have the pot. You know, you're taking money from the pot, and you're saying, well, you know, let's do it b'derech vitur. That's that. Do you have rights to do so? And the answer is in stocker. The answer is a flat no. And in Matanos of Yonim, the answer is according to the Miri, at least a flat yes. And it could be that the Rashi in Bava Metzia is also indicating, because Rashi's language in Bava Metzia is ein medagdikin lomar dayon v'pachos v'hamosa yiplusha l'kishal stock. We don't say such a thing. And the Meiri adds, no, just what do? We just shecht away and give him all the meat that he can eat, you know, v'derech vitur. So this would be, what number are we up to? That was number four.
Okay. Number four.
Right, let's go on. I think there's a fifth, if I remember correctly. So what we're up to now is the Rambam. Now the Gevuras Yitzchak has a big chiddush here in the Rambam. The Rambam is in two places. We're going to start with the later Rambam, and then we're going to work our way backwards to the earlier Rambam. The later Rambam is in Perek Beis Halacha Tes Zayin Mehilchus Megillah, and the Rambam says Chayv Lechalik LaAniyim B'Yom HaPurim Ein Pachos Mishnei Aniyim. So as opposed to Mishloach Monos, where you give two monos to one person, in the case of Matanos Avyon, you have to give to each of two recipients a matana. And he says the following: the Rambam, No Sein Lekol Echad, right? Because you have to give two. Matana achas. Okay, now the Rambam asks the question, what is the content, what is the substance of this matana? And the Rambam has three options. Number one is omos. Oh, mine tavshil. So he's got food stuff. Oh, mine ochlin. Other types of food. That's not called tavshil. Now, there are a million and one questions we have to ask on this, Rama, but the most important question for us, because this is the question that many Rishonim raise, is what about other objects of value? Like, for example, begadim. You know, let's say an ani says, I need clothes. Like we gave the example before, an arrow shirt or a custom shirt. So what about the mitzvah of matanos levyonim? Mm-hmm. What do you see in this Rambam? Yes or no? Can I give him begadim? What's your impression?
No, you can't give him food.
Correct. Yeah. It's either mos or food. Because the Rambam has three categories. None of them, again, there are other Rishonim who would disagree, but if we want to be very meticulous about reading the Rambam, none of the three options that the Rambam gives us are clothing. Shenemar. And then the Rambam proves that you have to give to two Evyonim, because it says in the Megillah, U'matonos Levyonim, Levyonim is in plural, Shtei Matonos, L'shnei Aniyim. Then he goes on and he says, Ein medagdikim b'mos purim elokol poshet yodo, litol nosnim lo. Now that was one of our nafkaminas, because in Hilchus Tzedaka, is it enough that the guy just puts his hand out? Hello? Maybe? In Stocker. Is it enough that the guy just puts his hand in? No. So if the Rambam writes here as a special halach in Perek Beis halach at Tezayin Ilchus Megillah with regard to Matanos Avyonin, Ein Medagdikin B'mos Purim, it sounds like the Rambam is also going with that school of thought that Matanos Avyonin is not to be subsumed on the universal Stocker, but it's a separate mitzvah unto itself with its own rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in a later period of time, let's say we're going to fast forward by about 2-3 centuries, that we have the Trumas HaDeshen, and he writes that anything that has value is included on the Matanos Avyonim. That's called, in the Lashon of the Gemara Kiddushin, Shava Kesef. Kigon, Begadim V'Kelim. So imagine I have this beautiful vase and I buy it for him, you know, in a clay buy it store, you know, and I wrap it up and I give it to him as a gift. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, I fulfill my mitzvah Matanos Levyonim. He also includes begadim. You know, I send him a beautiful new shirt or a suit, and that's also included in Matanos Levyonim. And Turi Evan, that's the Shagasari, later you know, now we're fast forwarding really by a whole bunch of centuries, you know, by probably about 300-400 years, and he also agrees with this psak of the Trumas Hadesha.
But he says also b'shilach manalot, you know, you would say right.
Say it again.
He says here b'shilach manalot, referring to mishloach manalot, I assume, not matanot like the name. You know, you would say rak b'midei malachal, which is.
No, he's saying the following, that even though in Mishloach Manot you're limited to food, right? The essence of Mishloach Manot is to provide a person with food.
I read it backwards.
Right? Okay. However, in the case of Matanot Sevyon, you have a much broader scope.
Yeah.
And you can send Shavu Kesef, send him some beautiful new suit, or send him a beautiful vase, and you'll be able to the mitzvah Matanot Sevyon. However, the Or Sameach points out in the Rambam, it doesn't seem so. The Rambam gives three options for Matanos of Yonim. None of them are what we call Begadim or Kalim.
That's no good.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Now again, if you were to subsume or identify Matanos of Yonim as Staka, would there be any difference between Begadim and Kalim on the one end and food and Mos on the other end?
No.
Because the mitzvah tzedakah is to provide something, is somebody with shavu kesef, with something that's valuable. So if he doesn't like the vase, you give him a, what do they call it, a return thing in it?
Yeah, petek achlafa.
Petek achlafa, let him go return it. Or sometimes they'll even give you your money back in some rare cases. It's very rare these days. Or let's say you give him a suit. Or whatever. That's called shavu kesef. So the man has extra money in his bank account. And not only that, I would go even a step further. Maybe he could use the kli. He doesn't have enough kalim. So it's not stam that I went into a kli buy store and I bought him a vase. The man hasn't bought a flower in 20 years. No, I bought him a vase because he needs a vase. Or I bought him a pot because he needs a pot to cook in. I bought him a suit because he doesn't have a suit to wear. So that's matanos levyonim. That's staka. The Rambam, on the other hand, seems to subsume Matanos Levyonim under a separate category, independent of Tzedakah. And now we're up to Nafka Mina number 5, if I'm not mistaken, for those who are helping me. Are you?
Yeah,
you got it?
Yeah.
So number 5. So number 5 is going to be whether or not I can give him, I don't know if you want to use the term Shava Kesef, or I'd rather use the terminology Begadim Ukelim.
But that's only according to Rambam.
Correct. The point that we're making now is we want to list nafkaminas. Now, in terms of who holds what, we have the Rush, the Smag, and the Ritva, and they were discussing the issue of Ein Medagdakim, etc. We also had a Tosis of Bava Metzia who said that even the Bnei Ha'ir have no authority to reallocate the money of most Laniyim. We have a tour who quotes a Gos Hashri that even Machshava is enough. And now we have the Rambam who not only says Ein Medagdakim B'Dover, which certainly puts him into the camp of the Rush, Smag, and Ritva, but beyond that, the Rambam seems to exclude which other poskim, starting with the Trumas Hadesh and going on to the Shagasari, seem to include, and the Rambam seems to exclude Begadim and Kalim. That's not in the purview of Matanos of Yonim. Again, even though in classical Tzedakah that would be fine. So once again we see that the Rambam is carving out a new mitzvah called Matanos of Yonim that should not be subsumed or identified with the mitzvah, the universal mitzvah of Tzedakah. And now he comes up with a big chiddush. And this is the paragraph Venira that concludes on page Reish Nun He. It starts on Reish Nun Dalet and concludes on Reish Nun He.
Yeah.
What is the nature of Matanos Levyonim as a separate independent mitzvah, meaning independent of Tzedakah, which we said before is part of the Zman itself of Purim, whom he din Simcha? Do you remember that we were medayik in the Lashon of the Rishonim? We saw it pretty clearly in the Rush. We saw it even more clearer, embellished in the Ritva, that this whole mitzvah, this entity called Matanos Levyonim, is midin simcha. Now, in order to prove that this definition of Matanos Levyonim, the goal of which is simcha, is certainly the Rambam's opinion, we're going to now go back to the Rambam. Before we saw the Rambam in Halacha Tezayin, now we're going to move forward to Halacha Yud Zayin. And the Rambam addresses the following question. You have two options. With, given the fact that you have limited funds, you can spend those funds on Seuda, you know, make yourself a beautiful banquet, or you can restrict a little bit the money for the banquet and instead use it for Matanos Levyonim. Or, for example, let's take the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. We live in a society where there's like no end to Mishloach Manos. You know, I pity, my heart goes out for the wives, the viber, because, you know, to fulfill the mitzvah. Have you seen this? What goes on? So in my shul in Har Nof, they made a takana, but the takana didn't accomplish much. But what happens is they take a collection in the shul, and every member of the shul gets one Mishloach Manos. You know,
we do the same.
You do the same. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I know many people who daven in that shul, who are members of the shul, the pillars of the shul, and they give out approximately, if I wouldn't be exaggerating, if I said 20 to 30 or maybe twice that amount of Mishloach Manos every Purim. And every Purim they have to create a new poem, I don't know if you've seen this, and a new shtick, and there's a theme to the Mishloach Manos. It's Ein L'Davar Sof.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'd rather be getting drunk. I'd rather be at the Sudas Purim. Yeah.
Freudian slip.
Oh, so he says the following. The Rambam says, "Mutav adam laharbos matanos levyonim, mi laharbos besudaso ubi mishloach manos ish l'reyehu." So you know, now the Rambam is sort of in the balance of it. You know, on one side of the scale, he's got matanos levyonim. On the other side of the scale, he's got both. Again, it depends how you read the Vav of Ubishloach Manos, but if you read it as a Vav HaMechaber, he's got both Seudas Purim and Mishloach Manos on the other side of the scale. So you would certainly think that you would tip the scale in favor of both Seudas Purim and Mishloach Manos. Nein, says the Rambam. Tip the scale in favor of Matanos Levyonim. Why? And all of a sudden, the Rambam introduced a whole new element, a whole new theme into the picture, and that's Simcha. You know, when you're dealing with staka, I don't know if you're dealing with simcha. I mean, again, you know, every oni, I guess, is happy when he gets a gift and he receives money. But, you know, from the little shekel that we give him when he puts his hand out, he's not going to be besimcha. But he says that Matanos Levyonim is all about simcha. And then the Rambam waxes very eloquent and poetic here. And he says, the simcha of the Lev Haniyim, and now he even expands it beyond Haniyim. He speaks about Yisomim, people who are orphaned, Almonos, a widow, a Gerim. Sometimes Gerim don't have really much of a family, you know, they became converts to Judaism. These are all cases of people who need, you know, they need financial help, they may also need psychological strength and friendship. These are people whose simcha is tremendously increased by the Matanos Levyonim. Hare, what do we see from this Rambam? Says the Gvuras Yitzchak, because of a Rambam, she is sowed mitzvahs matnas ani evyonim, meaning the word yisod here means the purpose of, or the essence of, the mitzvah matanos evyonim. What are you trying to accomplish here? Hu l'sameach lev ha'umlolim, to joy, to gladden the hearts of the unfortunate. And therefore, although there are other mitzvahs like reus, you know, friendship, and there are mitzvahs of suda and adaloyada and all that, but those don't pale, they don't shine a candle to the mitzvah of simcha, to be mesameach lev ha'umlolim. Okay, simcha means to gladden the heart of those who are unfortunate, who are sensitive, who are despondent. Mm-hmm. Oh, so Rav Sirotsky asked the following question. He says, if you were to classify or identify Matanos Levyonim as tzedaka, then the concept of simcha is not relevant. You can go through comb through all the laws of tzedaka in your idea that we spoke about before, and you won't find the concept of simcha. But here in Matanos Levyonim, we talk about simcha. So the Rambam says that there are three primary modes of bringing out the simcha of the Avyonim on Purim. One is Kesef, meaning mos, right? The Rambam says, give him coins, give him liquid assets, as we would say. Mm-hmm. Number two, the Rambam has divrei machol, food stuff, which the Rambam divides into two categories. He's got meaning tavshil, that's cooked foods, or meaning ochlin, other foods that you don't have to cook, they're edible as they are. And all this is part of the Simcha of Purim. Okay. Now, let's take a moment here. This is not the main chiddush of this paragraph, but in a kind of a Maimar Muzgar, you know, if you put this into a little bit of a parenthetical box, he now enters into the following question. What about food that needs cooking? It means it cannot be eaten raw. Mm-hmm. Let's say meat, for example, would be a perfect example. I know the sushi today. Are they up to sushi meat? Probably they're up to that too.
Not
no?
Yet.
Not
yet.
No.
Not sushi.
What do you say?
This is carpaccio.
Carpaccio? It's raw meat?
Raw meat.
Wow. People are eating that? My stomach would not tolerate that. Anyway.
It's on the menu.
Steak tartare.
So now we have an interesting machlokes about raw meat. Okay, so this is going to be a machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Pri Chadash, who are more or less contemporaries. Maybe the Pri Chadash is a little bit later than the Magen Avraham, but not by much. And they're debating the mitzvah, listen carefully, of mishloach manos. That's why I say this is a little bit parenthetical, because what we want to do is we want to analyze what would the Pri Chadash say, or actually in this case, what would the Magen Avraham say in the case of Matanas Lev Yonah? Okay, so what's the machlokes with regard to mishloach manos? The Magen Avraham paskins in Tafresh Sarihei that if the food requires cooking and it's raw, you're not yotze in the midst of mishloach manos. The Pri Chadash says, on the other hand, that if it's a live animal, that's not a mitzvah of mishloach manos. That's not called a mana. But if it's geshachted, he already shechted it, then since it's royal is bashal miyad, you can immediately cook it, that's sufficient for the mitzvah of mishloach manos. Okay. Now let's shift our mindset to matanas lev yonah. And the argument here is that even the Pri Chadash, just one second, let me get this right. Even the Magen Avraham, let's say, who would say that raw meat is not it's not within the scope of mishloach manos, he would agree that it would be valid for matanas lev yonah. Why? Because lo beina litein matanas lev yonim dover aroy lachila miyad. But rather we need that we give him something that has value.
That's matanot levyonim.
Oh, and how do we know this? Because if, let's say, for mishloach manos, I would send you a check, or I would send you mals, right, I'd give you kaya, would I be yotze? No, nobody would say that, right? It's got to be edible. Is it edible exactly now, or it's just geshachten, and then we have to cook it? That's a machlokas between the Magen Avraham, the Pri Chadash. But everybody agrees that food is an absolute critical requirement in mishloach manos. When it comes to matanas lev yonah, what was the first case on the Rambam's three-part list? Mals, right? It was money.
Yeah.
So that giving money is itself a kiyum. So what I want to do is I want to give the ani either something that he can immediately eat, or something that has value. It's a foodstuff. It's not edible exactly now. It needs preparation, but it has value. Now, the significance of it having value is that now it could come under the category of kesef, right? Because that was the first option of the Rambam.
And a live animal?
A live animal is excluded because it's not edible at all. So again, we go halfway.
Even though it has value.
Yeah. Here's where it goes. We're going to walk hand in hand with with Mishloach Manos, meaning Matanis of Yonim to some extent is identical to Mishloach Manos, and then we're going to part ways. So to what extent is it the lowest common denominator that's an absolute requirement for both Matanis of Yonim and Mishloach Manos? It's got to be something related to his table, to his food. This all has to do with Simcha, which we'll get back to in a minute. Where do they part ways? So according to Magen Avraham, in Mishloach Manos, I have to give you something that's food, and it's immediately edible. Lo chaser klum. But in the case of Matanis of Yonim, here we could broaden it, because what if we give him something that he could eventually enjoy on his table, he may have to go through a process of cooking it, but it is foodstuff. So again, the basic need in which they both go hand in hand is you have to give him foodstuff, or something that he can immediately convert into foodstuff, to something edible. And that's where we draw the line. We say that a live animal, which is not even geshacht, and that's not even called an ochel, that's called a balchai, it's not an ochel. After shechit, it's called an ochel, but it's not roi miyad la'achila, but nevertheless it does have a relationship to achila. Where do we find something in the purview of Matanis of Yonim which is related to achila? That's called mos, right? Because mos means that you give the emyon, you know, $20, and he goes into the store and he buys himself whatever food he can buy for $20. But now we're ready for the big chiddush. So again, until now we've been analyzing the Rambam in Perek Beis Milchus Megillah Halacha Tezayin and Halacha Tezvav. I'm sorry, Halacha Tezayin, Halacha Yudzayin. And now we are rewinding to Halacha Yudalid in the same parak. Here's a cool chiddush. The Rambam says, again, Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid, that the Bnei Kfarim, now watch what happens. Purim is on Yudalid or Tesvav. The Bnei Kfarim are the villagers, and they could read the Megillah earlier if need be, on Yom HaKnisa, which means on the last Monday or Thursday before Purim. Okay. So the Rambam wants to know the following. The Bnei Kfarim are reading the Megillah. Let's call it Yud Gimel, for argument's sake. So let's say Yud Gimel is on a Monday, and Yud Dalet is on a Tuesday. So on the 13th of Adar, they're reading the Megillah in the Kfarim. The Aniyim, the Avyonim can't flock around. They flock to the Mekriyas HaMegillah. They put out their hands. Im chilku mos levyonim biyom kriyasam. Did they fulfill the mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim? Or did they have to wait till tomorrow, meaning to the 14th, till Tuesday, to fulfill the mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim? You hear the question? I mean, I'm just pointing. The Rambam doesn't ask the question, he just answers the question. Yeah.
Gotta wait.
No. He says, I'll tell you why. Because the way that Chazal established the mitzvah of Matanis of Yonim, it doesn't depend upon Purim, it depends upon Yom Kriyas HaMegillah. Once we establish this day, in the case of the Kfarim, Yud Gimel Badar, as a day of reading the Megillah, that becomes the mitzvah of Matanis of Yonim together with Mikra Megillah. In other words, Matanis of Yonim is now, what's the word I wanted to use? Not hatched. What's the word when you attach something?
Linked.
You know, linked. Okay, I was looking for a different word. Harnessed. You know, I was looking for a different word. Anyway, whatever that word is, you get the point. Oh, so now watch what the Rambam says over here. When the Rambam wants to establish that you can be Makai in the mitzvah Matanis of Yonim before Purim, in the case of Yom HaKnisa, in the case of Bnei HaKfarim, who are reading the Megillah before the day of Purim, the Rambam gives only one example of Matanis Levyonim. So if you're meticulous about comparing two Rambams, you'll notice that when the Rambam talks about the classic mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim on the day of Purim, meaning on Yudalid, the Rambam gives no less than
three
examples. And here, in the Halacha of Bnei HaKfarim, when he wants to give you the example of Matanis Levyonim, which you can fulfill before Purim, because we're going to link it up with Kriyas HaMegillah. Because the Gemara says, Einayim shel aniyim tluyos b'mikra Megillah. That's when they know they can come into the synagogues and find the people and receive the money. Here the Rambam only mentions one example out of the three. Which is the one example he mentions? Im chilku mos levyonim b'yom kriyasam. So we have a yom kriya which is not Purim, and yet the Rambam says that they will in fact fulfill the mitzvah of matanas avyonim on the yom kriya when they did what? Says the Rambam, chilku mos. No mention of tavshil, no mention of shar ochlim. What happened to all the food stuff? So he says a beautiful chiddush. He says the Rambam here, since he's talking about Kodim Zman HaPurim, he says the following. In this case, the commonality, the common link that we spoke about between Mishloach Monos and Matanos Avyon no longer applies. Do you remember we said they go hand in hand to some point? Again, you may not need, as the Magen Avraham says in Mishloach Monos, you may not need Basar Mevushal, you can even be Yotze with Chai, but you need Ochlin. Right? So he says that makes sense on the day of Purim itself. Because what do you do with the Ochlim on the day of Purim?
Suda's
Purim. He says, K'mo di eno yotze mishloach manas nosno lahem b'yom kriyasam. Right, the Rambam says that the only mitzvah that you could fulfill together with Kriyas HaMegillah on the 13th, again that was just one example, right, is only the mitzvah matanas avyonim. He doesn't give you the option of Mishloach Monos. Why doesn't he give you the Bnei Kfar an option of Mishloach Monos on Yud Gimel?
There's no Suda.
Exactly, because the whole purpose of Mishloach Monos is to enhance your Suda. And there is no Suda on Yud Gimel. Even for the Bnei Kfar, they have to wait till Yud Dal to eat the Suda. K'mo chein eni yotzi matonis levyonim b'midei demachal Shaloye Kayam Levishta Simcha Shal Purim. Alright, he doesn't have refrigeration. He's saying that the food won't last until Purim. Right, there could be a difference of how many days, let's say Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. It could be four, and if you're the Krochim, it could be 5 days. You know, the whole. So you're going to give him food 5 days in advance of the Suda's Purim? No. He says, Lo Ye Kayam Lesimchas Purim, Levishta Lesimchas Purim. Chain osim simchas purim el bizmano.
Simchas purim is a suda.
The suda purim, suda mishnah of simcha. That can, if you eat the suda the mishnah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, you're not yotze. You have to wait till Yud Dalet. Imikdimo lo yotze. So therefore, just like Mishloach Monos is absolutely impossible on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, because there's not going to be any food for the Suda's Purim, because we're not going to expect that the Suda's Purim can be eaten with food that was given days and days earlier. So too, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah Matanas Avyonim. So it's now Matanas Avyonim takes on what I call a limited form. In other words, the original form of Matanas Avyonim had many different options to it. Two out of the three of the options were food items, because it's on Purim itself. So then it makes sense that the experience, the enjoyment of Purim on behalf of the recipients, the Avyonim, is applicable when you give them food. But if we're talking about a different sort of Matanas Avyonim which cannot be connected to food because it's too early in the case of the Bnei Kfarim for eating anything, so now the Matanas Avyonim becomes Mos. What are the avyonim? Again, this is not necessarily the case, but what in the ideal, so to speak, or simple formulation, what are the avyonim going to do with these mos? They're going to eat them. What?
Buy food with it.
Correct. And when are they going to eat that food? On Purim. You know, it's just, mos don't need refrigeration. They don't spoil. He says, oh. Okay, then we're up to the word venira. So I was wondering, I wrote a little note to myself on the side, I don't even know if you could read my handwriting, but I wanted to know what would be in the following scenario. I live in a krach, in a walled city, so I'm going to celebrate Purim on what? On the 15th, right. Now this Evyon lives in a prazi, in an ear prazi, and he already fulfilled his mitzvahs of Purim on the 14th. could I fulfill my mitzvah on the 15th of Matanis Levyonim by giving him money? Yesh l'stapik, the Evyon ben Ir, so this Evyon, this poor person, belongs to a city, and now I want to give him Matanis Levyonim on Tesvav, because I'm a ben Krach, would I be mekayim the mitzvah? He doesn't have simcha on that day. In other words, if we're saying the Simcha Mishta is the ultimate goal of Matanis Levyonim, and if I give the Evyon food on the day of Purim, so I gladden his heart because he now has food for his Sudas Purim, if, for example, it's Yud Gimel for the Bnei HaKfarim, I have to give him Mos so that he can take these Mos and buy food when Purim comes around for his Sudas Purim. So what happens in the case of an Evyon who's a Ben Ir and he's already fulfilled his mitzvah of Simchat Mishteh, and now I want to supply him with Matanis Levyonim on the 15th because I'm a Ben Krach and that's my mitzvah?
You can't ask him where he's from. There's no Bedika.
Okay, but you hear my question just in an abstract term. Meaning, if he's right, let's go back to the first line in Venera, in this long paragraph. He says, Venera didas aramna, matonis liyorim, enem idin stokal idin simcha. That makes sense if the recipient has the mitzvah of simcha. And that's why the Rambam tells you that the mitzvah of matonis liyorim is fulfilled through food stuff. You know, you might ask, well, maybe if I buy him a custom-made suit, maybe he'll even be greater simcha. But we're talking about the Simcha of Purim, and the Simcha of Purim is the Simcha of Suda and Mishteh, and that's what he should be doing. Again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the Evyon has a chiyuv to use every last can of herring that I give him for the Suda. But what I'm saying is that in theory, his Sudas Purim is enhanced by the fact that I gave him food. But that makes sense if he has the Simcha of Purim. But if he's already fulfilled the Simcha of Purim. Again, Dr. Joel, I don't care whether he actually fulfilled the mitzvah of Simcha. That's irrelevant to me. What's relevant to me is that on the 15th he doesn't have the Simcha. So you're telling me I don't know where he lives. You know, that's a good point. Maybe I don't know where he lives. But Sofik Doraisa L'chumra Alpi, I don't mean that literally, but I know that he comes from Telstone and he shows up in Yerushalayim and he puts out his hand. I'm not sure if I could be Mekayim the mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim. Again, if Matanis Levyonim is what? Is Staka. So this would be Nafkamina number 6. Can I give Matanis Levyonim, fulfill my mitzvah, when the recipient is not obligated in the mitzvah of Simchas Purim? He's already had the mitzvah. It's not his day of Purim. If I say it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, then what difference does it make? Then he goes back to his original presentation about where the Bnei Ha'ir, who are authorized to reallocate monies of tzedakah, are they likewise oriented? Are they likewise authorized to reallocate Matanis Levyonim? And we mentioned that according to Tosus and Erchin, yes. But according to Tosus and Bamitzia, no. The answer is Ein Lebnei Ayir Lashanos. That's not Midin Stoka, but that's rather Midin Simchas Achag. Meaning that the money of Matanis Levyonim is earmarked for Simchas Achag, and you can't rob the aniyim of their Simchas Achag and decide that you want to build a bridge in the city. Here's Nafkamina number.
Up to 8.
Oh, you're up to number 8. I didn't realize how the numbers. What happens as far as the Evyon himself? Is he obligated in the mitzvah of Matanis Levyonim? And the answer is, it depends. Because with regard to tzedakah, he's not obligated in tzedakah. Let me see if I'm right. Ani hamisparnes minat tzedakah, chayev hu b'matanis levyonim. Yeah, we're back to Siman Tov Reish Sadi Dal. Oh. And the Pri Chodesh says that an ani hamisparnes minat tzedakah is chayev in mishloach manos. And that's pretty clear because the Gemara gives an example of two aniyim that sat together on Purim with one measly suda, and they swapped food in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shloach manos. So you see clearly that as far as the mitzvah of mishloach manos is concerned, an ani is obligated to the mitzvah of mishloach manos. Now the Pri Chodesh is taking it one step further, and he's suggesting that he's likewise chayev in matanos levyonin. Just one second. Maybe I'm getting the names a little confused here. There's the Yesh Omrim and there's the Pri Chodesh. Just one second. Which is which? Let me just... there's the Yesh Omrim is the Bach. The Bach is of the opinion that even the Evyon is Chayev Matanos Levyonim, and the Pri Chodesh is of the opinion that no, that an Oni is not Chayev Matanos Levyonim. So this all depends upon whether or not Matanos Levyonim is a mitzvah of tzedakah or it's a separate mitzvah of Simchas Hayom. If you're going to say that it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, I'm looking for just that line where he says, because I did this on Shabbos, where's the line where he says that in tzedakah he's not chayav in tzedakah, just one second. Here it is. Aval Shart Stoka. So this is about eight lines down from the top on the left column on Reish Nun Hei. He says, Aval Shart Stoka Dechol Hashana Ein Oni Amakabal Stoka Chayev Bo. He's not Chayev. Okay, there is a chiv he has to give, I think, a ma per year. But anyway, he's not chayav. Yeah, one time he has to give a ma, shnei ma's. I forgot the exact. We can open up Hilchus stuff.
It's been kind of mitzvah, but not like.
Right, but he doesn't have an ongoing mitzvah of tzedakah. So let's say he gave that one ma, and now it's up to Purim. He doesn't have to give aniyim on Purim. That's only if you identify the mitzvah of matanos avyonim as tzedakah. And that would be the shita of the Pri Chodesh, because the Pri Chodesh says that to the same extent that he is potter from the mitzvah of tzedakah, he's also potter from the mitzvah of matanos levyon. But the Bach is of the opinion that no, that even the evyon is chayv in the mitzvah of matanos levyon, but that's not true in Hilchos tzedakah. That's what we have. The next nafkamin is going to be called what's called Matana Almanas Lahachzir. But we have a rule in Halacha that Matana Almanas Lahachzir Shmei Matana. It's a bit of a surprise. That if I give you a gift and I say I'm giving it to you on the condition that you return it to me, it's still called a Matana.
Lulav on the first day.
Right. Well, yeah, as long as it's not a cotton, right? Yeah, you're right. Okay. So that's a sugi mesechta kedushin on daf vav. What about in matanos levyonim? So let's first compare it to universal tzedakah. The shach in yoredeya in reish nun ches, which is the sima that we referred to before, reish nun ches, writes that you could fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah with a matan al manas lahachzir. So if we subsume Matanos Levyonim as mitzvah tzedakah, just that here it's an absolute chiyuv on Purim, then he would be yotze with Matan al manas lahachzir.
What's the example of Matan lahachzir? I mean, I give you money and you have to give it back to me? It's
right.
The tzedakah.
What do you say?
Where's the tzedakah?
I guess for the hour or so that you have the money, you
can't spend it. I mean, I don't understand where is that an Indian of tzedakah?
Right. So that depends on how you define stock. Is stock considered an asino, or is stock a kabbalas mos? You know, is it revach? Is it, surplus? What's the word I'm looking for? Is it financial surplus? Or is it just a mice in asino, that I give you something of value, and he makes a kenyan on it?
Well, a loan is considered almanat
lachzir? I don't think so, no. Because... wait a minute. Maybe I should,
Milvelotzonim,
maybe maybe it would be enough. I don't think so, but maybe it would be enough. In any event, this is the radical sheet of the Shach. You know, you may want to write the Shach a letter, but let's just operate within the framework of the Shach. The Shach paskins, based on the Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was one of the Rishonim, that Matana Menas Lahaksa Shmei Matana, and therefore he can fulfill his obligation of Tztaka with a Matana Menas Lahaksa. If we're going to say that Matana Sivyona is Midin Tztaka, then according to this Shach, based on Rabbeinu Yerucham, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Matana Sivyonim with a Matana Menas Lahaksa. However, if the mitzvah of Matanas Levyonim is a unique mitzvah of Simchas Purim, Nireh Pashut, the Kmod Mishloach Manos Eni Yotzim Nosin Amanas Lahaksir, Hu Adin Kmochein Mitzvahs Matanas Levyonim Eni Yotzim Nosin Amanas Lahaksir. So, how many enough communities do we have? Eight, nine, whatever it is.
So there'd be no simcha.
Correct. Yeah, what's he going to do with the malos? I mean, he has to give it back to you. What? How does that enhance his sud or his simcha or his mishnah? Okay, for the next piece, so we have to open up a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara is on, I believe, Daf Yutes in Bava Metzia. Did I say Bava Metzia? Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I meant to say a Gemara in Megillah. Okay. So if you open up the Daf, you test on an Aleph. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. It's towards the bottom. Let's see where it is. It's 2.5 lines up before the end of Omar Aleph.
Omar Shmuel, sorry.
Hakore b'megillah k'suva ben k'suvim. In those days, they would create a cloth that had all five megillahs on it. And that made it life easier, because then, every holiday you can take out the cloth. You don't have to... Amen. So the question is, can you fulfill the mitzvah megillah with such a megillah that has many different megillahs in it? So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel Lo Yotza. So Rashi explains why Lo Yotza. Yeah. Rashi says that you need Pirsum Hanes. He embellishes it here in the commentary. Writes, "Dinire kikore ba mikra, v'aim b'kriyaso Pirsum Hanes." If you have a separate Megillah, then we're not going to say that you're reading the Megillah because you're studying the Megillah. But if it's Bein Aksuvim, then the onlooker thinks that you're just reading. You're reading Megillahs. You know, you're learning Megillahs. You're giving a course in Megillahs. Amar Rav Lo Amar and Elad Lo Machasra Umiyasra Purta Al Machasra Umiyasra Purta Leslan Ba. He says the following: if all five Megillahs are written on the same level, meaning the same height and the top and bottom, then it looks like it's all. But if the Megillah was written in a special, unique way, either it's smaller or it's larger, then it's nikar that he's reading it as a separate Megillah. Obviously, this needs a lot of work. I'm just giving you skimming the surface here. Now, the most important sentence for our purpose is on Yutes Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Chiya. This you'll see on the third line. Rabbi Chiya says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hakore b'megillah k'suv ben k'suv lo yotza, u'machule amocha. When Rabbi Chiya, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, repeated the same statement that we saw earlier, the name of Shmuel, the people who heard this, they got very upset. They started banging themselves on the head. And they couldn't understand why you would nullify or invalidate the Kriyas HaMegillah in the case of Megillah Ben Aksuvim. So in order to salvage or sort of calm themselves down about what Rabbi Yochanan meant, they said B'tzibur Shanu, that this only applies B'tzibur. So let's just say Poshim Shat. Together there are a lot of complicated interpretations, but It means if I'm reading the Megillah for myself, I know that I'm reading the Megillah for myself. That's already a pirsumness. And therefore, even though it's Ben Aksuvim, I'm Yotze. But if I'm reading it publicly, then people are looking and they're wondering what's going on. You know, sometimes the public will read all sorts of parts of the Torah and study it. And he writes the following. B'tzibur shanu v'lo yotza. And why is that so? Kevan shakriya b'tzibur ba kidei lefarsim es hanes v'eina megillah nikeres. You know, we don't see that he's reading it from a Megillah. You know, he has got all the Megillahs here. He's then lo yotza. Amol biyachid shekorei bifnei atzmo yotze gam im hi ksuva ben ha ksuva. So we're making a distinction between a person who's reading the Megillah privately and one who's reading it publicly. If you're reading it for the sake of the public, it cannot be ksuva ben aksuvim, but if you're reading it privately, it could be a Megillah ksuva ben aksuvim. So the footnote here, he quotes the Tur in Siman Tafresh Sari Aleph, that bipshuto means ba'asar, that you have 10 people. So if you're reading it in front of 10 people, then it cannot be ksuva ben aksuvim. But then the Tur quotes the Bala Itur. And what does the Bala Itur mean? What does he say? He says what the Gemara means here, Betzibur, means Shalo Bizmano. How does the word Betzibur mean Shalo Bizmano? Hakavana Lizman Shekorim Betzibur Dafka Klomak Shekori Shalo Bizmano Di Ozein Yotze Ela Betzibur. Right? If you read the Megillah Bizmano, then you could be Yotze even be Yochid. But if you're reading the Megillah Shalo Bizmano, like the case of the Kfarim, who are reading it on Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel, you must have a tzibur. That's a sugya in Masechta Megillah. Says the Bala Itur, when the Gemara uses the term betzibur and says that now it's invalidated, it's invalid to read it from a Megillah Aksuv Ben Aksuvim, what the Gemara has in mind is Megillah Shalo Bizmano. And when he reads it Shalo Bizmano, you're not Yotzi unless you have what? A tzibur. And if the Megillah is written Megillah ben aksuvim, then you're not yotzi. Umiu biyachid hainu. What does it mean? Biyachid means kari bizmano. V'yazi yotze even with the Megillah ben aksuvim. So it means like this: if it's bizmano, then what do I care if there's a tzibur here? I can be yotze as a yachid.
No.
So the fact that Megillah ben Aksuvim undermines the kiyum of a tzibur, that has no impact on me because I can certainly be yotze, I can discharge my duty as a yachid. But in the case of Shalom Bizmano, says the Bala Itur, where there is no possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah unless you read it b'tzibur, then you can only obtain that separate, unique kiyum of kriyas ha-Megillah b'tzibur if you have a Megillah ksuva ben Aksuvim. That's the sheet of the Bala Itur. Rabosa, I see we have about 15 minutes left. Would you be interested in finishing up a piece that we started last week? Again, I'll repeat the introduction from the Pachad Yitzchak. I think I gave you out Inyan Ches, which should be on page Mem Vav, Mem Zayin. Why are you laughing? It's hard to find it. I know. But again, I'll look at
it.
It looks like this, so it's a totally different totally different printing.
Don't wait.
Okay. So you'll follow Balpeh. I mean, you don't have to see it inside. All right. The Gaon says that the concept of Purim Kippurim means that we integrate these two holidays and we make them into one. Why is it that? Because on Yontif we require what's called Chetzil Hashem and Chetzil Lachem. On Yom Kippur it's impossible to fulfill Chetzil Lachem. On Purim, on the other hand, there's no Chetzil Hashem. So Purim is a day that's totally dedicated Lachem. Yom Kippur is a day that's totally dedicated Lachem. Lashem, we combine the two like two halves of a heart, you know, and they get them together like a charm, right? You remember those? And And we have one indivisible holiday, one indivisible unit. Okay. So the Pachad Yitzchak wants to give a little bit more of a of an embellishment of this concept of integrating both Yom Kippur and Purim. Now, Rabosai, I'm not going to claim that I have the ability to fully explain this. It's very, very profound, very deep. But we're going to try to do the best we can. Okay. In the back of the Pachad Yitzchak, he tells you where, if you ever want to look up the sources that the Pachad Yitzchak quotes in the text, where you could find them. So I'll just mention that the Gaon, which he started with, you can find in a sefer called Likutei Agra. He tells you what page it's on. If anybody's interested, we'll do that later. He tells you Chetzi Lachem, Chetzi Lashem, and Yontif is a Gemara Beitza on Daf Tes Vavim in Beis. And now for the next source, he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peites Amid Beis. So look, if you have a Gemara Shabbos, I don't know if we have one here in the room, but we can. You have a Gemara Shabbos there, so don't give it to me. You do the work for me. Open up to the Sugya on Daf Peites Amid Beis, and you'll see there that the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, are working hard to evoke, I would say, from Hashem, a divine promise that even though the Jews are going into Golus, but they would return to Eretz Yisrael.
What daf is it on?
It says here, Peites Amid Beis. I don't have a Gemara Shabbos to clarify that, to verify that. Alright? Ben, can I trouble you to close the door even for a minute? I know that John is going to be back here, but... Okay. But again, guys, you'll have to do the work for me. I'm in a rush here to finish this up. Can you open up the Peites Amid Beis and see if you can find this Gemara? In any event, the Gemara records that amongst the three Avos, the one that was successful in invoking divine compassion was Yitzhak Avinu. And there's a whole calculation in the Gemara, but the bottom line for our purpose is that Yitzchak says, Palga Olai Upalga Olecha. Mm-hmm. So that sounds a little bit to Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem, Chetzi Lashem. Again, I would never have made an equation, but he says the following. He quotes one of the great shining lights of the Musar movement, Rav Itzel Blazer, who is a Talmud Muvuk of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who says the following, that what Yitzhak Avinu was saying to the Ribbono Shalom is based on a Gemara, what will be understood in the light of a Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara there offers various composed prayers composed by various Amoraim to add and attach to the end of Shmoneh Esrei. So one of the Chachamim says, this is what I would add to the end of my Shmoneh Esrei. Ritzoneinu lasu ritzonecha. Our true will is to fulfill your will, God. Ela shesa'ar shebe'isa v'shibud malchios ma'akev. There are two things that are holding us back. One is the sa'ar shebe'isa, which is the yesahar on the inside. And the other is Shibud Malchios, which means the pressures from the non-Jewish governments that oppress us. So Bissel Blaser says the following: Masha Anu Ein Anu Makayvin Ritzoncha Ein Zivit Neshe Ein Banu Ratzon Lasus Ritzonecha Adarava Adir Chefzenu Dafka Lasas Ritzonecha. We have an inner powerful, profound will, an existential will to fulfill your will, God. El she'ein lo koach, we don't have the power to achieve our desire, our will, la'gia lidei shlita, and, you know, control ourselves in such a way that will fulfill your will. There are two powerful forces that weaken our ability to materialize our will to fulfill your will. It's the Arsha Be'isa V'Shibud Malchus. Shnei Ha'ikuvim Alalu Heim Ha'Yisod L'Chalukas Palgo Lai Palgo Lech. In other words, who puts the Yetzirah inside of us? That's you, God. You're the one who gave us this Yetzirah. That's called Sa'ar Shebe'isa. Hu Amonea Sha'ata Garam Tolo. Now, in parentheses here, he refers to Gemara in Brachos to prove that the Yetzirah comes from Hashem. Yitzhak says to the Ribbono Shel Palgo Alecha, you take responsibility for all those sins that were perpetrated because of the Sa'ar Shebe'isa, because of the Yetzirah. You're the one who created the Yetzirah. You, inculcated the Yetzirah into our very being, and therefore your responsibility. Ve'ilu hamoneh ha'sheni shel shibud malchios ani garamti lo. I was the one, this is Yitzhak Avinu talking, I'm the one who's responsible for shibud malchios. Mind-boggling statement of Yitzhak. Why? Shekein ein shibud malchios elo mikocho shel Esav. He's not going to talk about any other kingdoms or kingships that subjugated the Jewish people. He's interested in only one, and that's Esav.
It was his. He thought Esav is his son.
No, but I'm asking, you know, it's very interesting that Yitzhak says, you know, Palgo Alai, because I caused Shibud Malchios. I mean, Shibud Malchios encompasses many different Malchios. I mean, Paras of Madai or Yavan, I don't know if Yitzhak is responsible for that. Uh-huh. You know, for the Bnei Esav, that's one thing. Amalek, maybe, but... okay, but I'm just saying, he's generalizing now that the main overall Golus and Shibud Malchus is going to be Esau. Yalamunea is there. If it's the Shibud Malchus that is preventing the Jewish people from fulfilling their Ratzon, their true Ratzon to fulfill God's will, Ani Omer Pal Golai, Yitzhak Avinu is willing to say that's half on me, because I was the one who created this whole problem with Esau, because I gave the bracha to Yaakov and not to Esau.
All of Shibud Malchus, or half of
Shibud Malchus? No, all of Shibud Malchus. Oh, okay. But I'm saying, well, why is all of Shibud Malchus? I don't have an answer to that question. Oh, so now, until now, it's Rabbi Yisrael Blaser. Now the Pakad Yisrael takes over. He says, Heim advarim shekosav agrok, ki shnei azmanim shel yom kippu purim, heim besod mechzel Hashem u'mechzel achem, Hayachas hazeh beYom Purim liYom Kippurim Omed hu besod shel palga alai hu palga alecha klomar yesh kan shlemus achas bashnei chatzoyim hashlemus hi hatzaoka haamuka haola mitahomos hanefesh ritzonenu lasos ritzonecha. So when we talk about shlemus, we're talking about the absolute, total commitment of a Jew to fulfill the will of God, and that's his desire, if only there weren't these two ma'akvim. Is therefore ritzonenu lasos ritzonecha. That's the clarion call of every Jew. B'shnei chatzoyim heim shtei hata'anot shel si'or shebe'isa v'shibud malchus. He says that our taina is that we really have a complete, total dedication to your will, but there are two halves that are preventing us from doing so. V'kan hu makom atzir shel Purim v'yom HaKippur. Here's where we're going to sew together Purim. Purim and Yom Kippur. Ki chaluka shnei hazmanim alolu hi siluk hacheshbon in shnei hama'akvim alolu. That these two holidays will undermine this cheshbon of the two ma'akv. I'll come back to the word siluk in just a minute. Ki al kein yom kippurim hu bitul ha'ikuv shel siyor shebe'isa. What we're going to accomplish on Yom Kippur is we're going to be completely free of the clutches of the Sar Shavisa, i.e. of the Yetzahara. Because B'Yom HaKippurim Ein HaIsa Mischametzes. You know, that part of the Isa, which we said is the represents Yetzahara, does not ferment. Because Ein Koach HaSotan LaHastin, the Satan has nothing to say to us on Yom Kippur, because we're not eating on Yom Kippur. It's Kulul Hashem. The Anu Omdim Mufshatim Mikol in Yonim Shalaguf. We're completely stripped of any physical desires or involvements. That's Yom Kippur. The Ilu Bepurim Nifka Kocho Shal Esav Milishabeh. And that's called, in the language of the Megillah, Nafal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem. So on the day of Purim, the power of Esav to subjugate us is completely null and void. Hareza Bitul HaIkav HaSheni Shal Shivud Malchus. So we have Yom Kippur, which is Mevatel the Sar Shebe Isa, then we have Purim, which is Mevatel the Shivud Malchus, because Nafal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem is there for Yom Kippur. Right, that you Hashem will take care for, because we don't have a satan. And then Purim is miskayem satayne shal palga olai. So the two halves of these two holidays will completely give us the ability to stay to come to Hashem and declare ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha, because Yom Kippur will negate and neutralize the palga olecha, meaning the sar shebe'isa, and Purim will neutralize the shivud malchus, because nafal pachad hayehudim aleihem. And that's the Megillas Esther, which means the inner hidden meaning of a Jew, which is ritzoneinu lasos ritzoneinu. Okay, then we'll stop here.